Oh, so I just wanted to talk about two different things, and you just two sentence whenever. We want to talk about the dank way, and we want to talk about the stank way. It is not the good stink. We're talking about the bad stink.
Oh my
We want to talk about the dank stink way and the stink gay. We're talking about the gift of Holy G. Whoa, Paul, do you mind
Wow.
plussing it one? Unless you want to two cent it. I don't know, John. If you want to Oprah us, you can Oprah us at any moment. You get the spirit, and you get
Yes,
the
you get the blood. She gets the blood. We're
spirit.
covered in the blood. The blood is
Oh.
anointing you. You're bathing in the blood.
Oh.
Whoa, whoa,
We
whoa,
see your face,
whoa.
Johnny Dutton.
No.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, I just really wanted to talk about this gift of the spirit. Whoa. Because, like, there's people out there that make you think that this whole thing is either requires a prayer, a work, a magic spell, like 4 hours in the closet. You know, like, it's just not that hard. It's just not that hard. Can we all say it together? It's just not that hard.
It's just not
Not
hard.
That's soft. It's not hard.
More.
Easy.
John, do you want to read this? I just love your voice so much, John. I just love it so much. I love it. I really do. I'm like in awe of your voice. If you want to read this, you're welcome to read it.
All
right, all right, all right. You ready? Get the spirit.
Oh.
You get the spirit. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So how many people get the spirit according to this? I'm just wondering. I don't know. It's hard for me to see. I'm checking it out with the glory glasses. How many people? How many? Is there like 10 people who get the spirit? Maybe 50. 50 people. 144,000, as it says in the Book of Revelation. 144,000, they get the spirit. Whoa. That's interesting. It says all. What does that mean? Does somebody know what that means? Anybody? Is anybody here got the Revy on all?
All means all,
anybody?
baby. All means all. All means all.
And if it says all, can we personalize it? Can we personalize it? That must mean me. If it says all, that must mean me. Whoa, 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 whoa. And look at these gifts. I mean, it just starts with the shing ding ding. It says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Whoa, whoa. A lot of people, they put visions and dreams in the same bucket as prophecy, right? So when you put it in the same bucket, like you're having a prophetic dream or a prophetic vision, like I like wonder if it isn't quite literal right here. I think he's saying the whole family gets in on it. Like he says, your young men will see visions and your old men will see dreams. or will dream dreams. Even on your servants, my servants, both men and women, will I pour out my spirit in those days. And some of them, like it says, like handmaidens, you know, on your sons and handmaidens, you know, it's, I think it's talking about everybody, you know, gets in on it. Everybody, you know, gets in on it. Can you say that I'm in on it? Whoa. I'm in on it. Whoa.
I'm in on it.
All right. Everybody.
I'm in on it.
We're all in on it. We're all in on it. We're all in on it. We're all in on it.
All in.
All in. All in. Oh, any 2 cents from the peanut gallery? 2 cents. Or should we move on? We got 15 slides, so we might have to move it, but whoa. Okay, let's move it to the next one. Move it to the next one. Oh my God. This quote is like ridiculous, okay? So you got to stick your head in the glory wheel and just stick it in that glory wheel and just drink and just look at Holy Ghost. Because the problem that we're going in deep because we're talking about who got stank and who got dank. And so we want that dank Holy G. We don't want that stank modified Holy G. So we're talking about that dank Holy G, not that modified stank Holy G. Like the type that they just modified it one too many times. It went through too many gene editings. You know, you can't smoke that stank Holy G. It ain't even good, bro. Like leave that. So we're talking about how to recognize the stank versus the dank. So let's get into this stank versus the dank. Okay. Paul is like, this is like Paul's like, he lives in this space. His brain is like attached to like the church fathers. Whoa. He like lives in that era. Like he's like talking with him. So let's get some of that Paul Joyce. Whoa.
It will be remembered that for Athanasius, the devout and accurate way to know God is not from his works of creation, which are external to him, but from his eternal Son, for that is to know him as he really is in himself, in accordance with his divine nature as Father. Likewise, the devout and accurate way to know the Holy Spirit is not by beginning with manifestations or operations of the Spirit in creaturely existence, which is external to God, but from the property of the Spirit to the eternal being of God.
Whoa.
As the Spirit of the Father and the Son, and thus from his internal relations within the Godhead. Torrance is taking this thought from Saint Athanasius, and he is trying to say that to know God is to experience God. To know God is for God in his being and in his persons to meet us and communicate himself to us himself. Oh my Lord. Like, we're not looking to our experiences of the Holy Ghost in a subjective way and then saying, that's what the Holy Spirit is. We're talking about things that pertain to God's self-communication. He's the Word spoken in the Son, the Logos made flesh. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're going to go through these things as we continue to go. Here's a kind of a thought process to get our mind in the right thought here. Okay, so when we say that God is love, we are speaking according to his nature, according to his being. We're speaking a truth about God, that God is love. When we say that God is merciful, that cannot be an eternal title of God. What I mean to say is that mercy requires forgiveness for wrongdoing. And the Son has never wronged the Father. The Father has never wronged the Son, nor has the Spirit in need of mercy. Therefore, mercy is something that relates God to creature, God to creation. So firstly, he is loving. And that we can confess, absolutely. So that is kind of like the thought experiment of what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to take things that are within the Holy Spirit, within the Father and the Son, before all time, and we're trying to say that it is okay to say that because that's what we've been communicated to in the economy of God. Their action matches their being. And that's how we have to think about God, is it's not from the ground up as to take in creational language and bring it into God, but to take God's eternal language, the word, entering into creation and being disseminated to us through the Spirit, in which we can actually think rightly about God. For prophecy is merely right speaking about Jesus Christ. And it is so through the Spirit word, that we do that.
How he was translating his word to us was manifesting in Jesus. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Holy.
Yes, John. Bingo. Bingo.
Oh, show. Ooh, there's some dank stuff over there. Dang stuff. So we took it to the egg. So we have the egg, but we're going to crack that yolk open and we're going to cook this egg. Whoa, and enjoy this egg. So this is the egg thought, which is delicious for those who enjoy the egg thought, but we're going to break it apart. Whoa, on that griddle. You mind if we go to the next slide? Whoa. Well, so this is kind of what Paul's talking about. And you can feel this, just feel like you want to comment in, you're welcome to do it. But the approach on the left, I would like to say that that is the stank approach. And the approach on the right, I would like to say that's the dank approach. Next slide, please, sir. Oh. Yeah. Back one slide. So we're getting this from some legit theologians. You guys can read it on the bottom, read it and enjoy. But here is the dank versus the stank, right? And so when we talk about creation and people just trying to figure it all out, you know, you got these guys on the corner. And they are experts in the Holy Ghost. Like, what? You know, you guys are experts in the Holy Ghost? What? I think there's one expert in the Holy Ghost. Whoa. And we get to participate in his mind. That one expert is Jesus, the Son, right?
Whoa.
And so on the left, we got creation. When what I mean by that is folks are looking around town and they just put stuff together. They put things together. They look in creation. They Holy Ghost like this, Holy Ghost like that, Holy Ghost like this. Now, I ain't saying that they don't got a point. I think sometimes they got a point, but sometimes that point is stank and it's not dank. So I want to just talk about that. Let's talk about that.
I just go up to people and be like, bro, your point is stank. We need the dank. And then I'll just show them this graph and they'll know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dang. Whoa. Mr. Revison. Whoa. So like, this is real simple, but like, how do you know what you know what you know? Like, did you start at the right place? Like, if you are going to measure the Holy Ghost, where did you start measuring? And I would say most of these guys aren't measuring in the right place. They didn't start with Jesus. So they don't even know quite what they're talking about. So that's on the left and the right. That's number one. Number two, we got a spooky Holy Ghost. Can we say spooky?
Spooky.
Spooky, spooky Holy Ghost.
We don't want that Holy spooky Ghost dookie.
Spooky. Is Holy Ghost spooky? Are we talking about a spooky Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is not spooky. Holy Ghost looks like Jesus. You know how Jesus came with all that love? He came down to humanity. He put on human flesh and he showed us what God was really like. That's the opposite of spooky. Now, if the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they have the same nature, is Holy Ghost spooky? I don't think so.
In the stank mindset, I guess, right?
Ooh, yeah, in the stank mindset, Holy Ghost is spooky. Whoa, you better not mess up or you're going to get that spooky Holy Ghost. The spooky, you know, like you better not mess up. You feel that feeling? Oh, that spooky Holy Ghost. Man, that's your spirit, man. You just afraid, bro. You afraid, sister. Why don't you toke the real ghost? Toke the dank ghost and not the stank ghost. Toke the dank ghost and not the stank ghost. Whoa, he ain't spooky at all. Whoa. No spook in this ghost. Whoa. A lot of love in this ghost. A lot of love. A lot of personality, too. Whoa, a lot of personality. That's the other thing. People is like, it's kind of like the force. You're like, oh, let's control the ghost. Okay, if I just stand over here and I just say my incantation or whatever, I'm just controlling the ghost. You know, like, but is the ghost like that? Or is the ghost really personal? Is the ghost coming into your mind and meeting you where you're at? Like, if you like the ghost bombs, fire bombs, what if Holy Ghost is actually revealing that to you in a very personal way to show you what God is really like? He is like a flame of fire. And he is ready to burn some stuff up. And that is a revy of the cross, my friend. That is a revy of the cross. That's from the Son. That ain't just you magically coming up with something impersonally. That's very personal revelation of who Jesus is to you. Whoa. And then we got this revivalism, occasional visitor syndrome, as I like to call it, occasional visitor syndrome. We're in church and we got the occasional visitor syndrome. We're going to hope that Holy Ghost shows up and blasts us. That's occasional visitor syndrome.
There's a test you can take for that anytime you go into a church. Yeah, this place has OVS. I'm out of here.
That's occasional visitor syndrome. I think at the first, like we read, John so eloquently read with the voice. That first slide, and he said the spirit fell on all flesh. Whoa. So even the things that you don't like about yourself, maybe your flesh, if you want to make it weird, that's where the Holy Spirit is on. Holy Spirit like descended into the depths of humanity. Whoa. All of you is saturated with all of Holy Spirit. You can't get away. Holy Spirit is in the depths of who you are. Whoa. There is an immediacy about the Holy Spirit, not a come and go Holy Spirit. That this is not a come and go thing. You know, like, oh, I messed up. Holy Spirit's out of there. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit ran away. Whoa, maybe you and Holy Spirit didn't connect right, and maybe there is some sort of thing there, but that's not Holy Spirit running away. That's you and Holy Spirit working it out, okay? Right? And so when we see this language in the Bible, don't think that Holy G is like your Aunt Sally who gets mad and like oh, throws the stuff in the air and gets out. I'm out, you know? Holy geez, not like your Aunt Sally who's just, you know, just needs to calm down, honestly, and just have a good day, you know? You know, oh, Holy G loves you and wants to stick it out with you forever. And Holy G is not weird. So you can be with Holy G all day long. And it's not weird. It's just not a weird thing.
Sometimes it is weird.
Well, we enjoy the weirdness. Like, it's a personal weirdness.
You know what right. I mean?
Yes, I know.
It looks weird because to people who are used to the stank, they've been living in the stank. They're not used to the dank. It's really strange. And that's what it says in the scriptures, that we are peculiar people. And there is a difference, because you see the fruit. You see the fruit of him always being here, always saturating us. Always being personal, always being precise.
Whoa.
It's so good. And, you know, when we speak to each other in the language of heaven, when we speak the word over each other, prophecy, what God's saying to us, the rhema word, right now, it is always precise. It's so good. It's so personal. And you know, if there is fear, you know, if people are, then there's a mindset change that happens, and to clarify what God is saying.
I love that. I love what you guys both said. I'm sorry, I'm using a different set of language, and I'm broadening my language skills. So thank you, fellas and lady. Oh, shinga ding ding ding. Ding, ding. Should we move on to the next one? Let's use the fancy word first. Synergism. Oh, no, sorry. Back one, sir. Back. Oh, synergism, right? Whoa. Right? Which just means effort-driven spirituality. Oh, that means you take your effort. You basically are cutting the dink. You take the dink and you cut it with something else, right? And you cut it with your own efforts. Right? You just cut it up. You're like, you know what? The dank is too dank. I just need to add a little bit of what I got to a little bit of what he's got. You know, I just gotta combine them, you know? It's gonna be a better blow, you know? I'm just telling you that from just personal experience, like, you're gonna hit that high, but man, you probably gonna hit a low, bro. I'm just saying, for personal experience. I don't know. You guys anything about that synergism?
I feel like that's a new ministry name for someone's ministry, Better Blow Ministries.
Yeah.
You gotta be in the great, the good mindset, though. You know what I mean?
But think about the Flobo when you say that. Oh, Matt.
Flobo Ministries. Matty look Lee.
Thanks. Well, the Flobo, I call the Flobo, it's just Holy Spirit in us coming out, you know?
Yeah.
I guess the possession of this synergy.
Amen.
You know, of that flow flowing in the grace, you know? The unforced rhythm of grace, of just that smoothness.
Amen.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, sorry, Gia.
No, go for it.
I feel, you know, to be consistent with the theme here, you know, Holy Spirit's like the dealer, you know? Like when you go to the dealer's house, you're not throwing in on it, you know? At least you shouldn't be, because the dealer should have the best, right? So if he's the source, he's dealing out that dank for you to poke on. Don't try to add to it. Take away. Just enjoy. Enjoy what has been given.
Gift.
Hey, I think, wait, you guys have like, do you have like a, so something that's coming to mind is maybe
Can you guys maybe, I don't want to mess up like your order of like what you're, you know, like what you're doing or whatever, but like maybe you guys could just give like a testimony of how I don't know if you want to do it like a group thing or this is just like out of the ballpark of my idea, but like maybe like a little testimony of how, you know, how we've met Holy Spirit, you know.
Yeah, let's like, do that. What hey, is hey, that? Paul, do like, you mind changing the view so it's everybody? Removing the presentation. There we go.
Kaboom.
Oh, kaboom.
Hello.
Hello. Hello there.
Hello. Hello there.
I
don't know if you want to flobo in this, but just something that's kind of coming to mind is like what, you know, like how has everybody met the Holy Spirit, you know, because Holy Spirit's the comforter, the counselor, you know, the paraclete, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like to hear testimony or not even like just, I think
we're
going to
go there, but let's do it fast. Is it okay if we just do it fast?
Oh yeah. We don't even have to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm with the personal. The personal is
maybe like
where
at
I'm
the end
at.
Or something, or at the end. Oh,
okay, well,
or,
do you want to let's do it at the end then? Yeah, let's do it at the end. Yeah. Okay. Let's. Okay. If you have a thought, just write that thought down. Like, if you want to share a thought, because like I bet you what we're saying is going to stir up so many ideas. Because like we're just slam hammering. Amen. Through all these, I mean, like we went through four ideas back to back in like 3 minutes. So you just as you're just drinking and enjoying Jesus, like just write down something and you know, feel free and share it at the end. So shabba dabba ding dong. Okay. Paul, do you want to go back to it? And let's just skip through these slides. Let's try to finish this up. Cause I do want to do what you're talking about, Gia. I really love it.
Actually, I don't even care. Like, you guys do whatever you want. Like, seriously.
Okay.
I'm actually really tired. I'm, like, kind of just out of it tonight. So I might not even... there might not be any anointing on what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm like, whatever,
you're
man.
You're so full of it, Gia. So full of it.
Well, I know I'm full of it. I'm just being, like, completely honest right now. I was like, sorry if I fully interrupted your...
Oh, it's all good. We love.
I'm tired. I'm like laying down right now, so I'm just gonna watch you guys.
Your interruptions are wonderful. Okay, so we talk about that effort-driven spirituality versus a grace-driven, and what we mean by grace-driven is Holy G. Throughout Scripture, especially in Acts, it's talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, and then like you look in 1 Corinthians, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about the gifts pointing towards the giver, which is Holy G. And so, like, when we read all this stuff, whoa, it's not your fault. This is a gift. Whoa, Holy G is a gift. Put your hands on your belly. It's a gift. Whoa, it's a gift. Whoa, it's a gift. 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 And like, we have to like keep on talking about this because the church is like toxic a little bit, right? And so it's not that they're trying to be toxic or they're terrible people. It's none of those things. It's just, there needs to be a little healing in this area. And so we're just talking about that. So last two ones, I'm just going to speed through these ones. Peanut Gallery, if you want to jump in here, Matt, or Paul, Gia, John, Adrian, just two sentence. So mountaintop experience or toxic triumphalism versus God with all of us. Mm-hmm. So there's this thing called like toxic triumphalism, or another way of saying it is I had the mountaintop experience. I just saw Jesus in the flesh. And I just enjoyed God. And what I did was I prayed in tongues for 45 minutes after Tolkien the Ghost for 4 hours. And then Jesus appeared to me. Like, I hear what you're saying, brother. about your brother committing suicide and your mom like ODing on drugs. But listen, before you finish your comment about your mom and your brother, just go to your prayer closet, puff the ghost for 4 hours, pray in tongues for two, see Jesus, and you're going to be just fine. Do you get that? All right. Bam. You know?
Right. That goes back to the impersonal. Because if you're up here and people aren't feeling it, you know, they're not in the flow, whatever's going on in their life, whatever, it's not very personal. And it's like Holy Spirit loves to bring people up and be with them when they're down, you know?
Yes.
That's so personal. And yeah, like the I'm up here and this is how I got there, obviously, is you know, you're at the top and there's no room for anyone else.
Yeah.
And this is like seriously like not dank, you know, because you're not actually helping them with their problem. Like they're not getting high off of that. You know, they're not enjoying the puff of daddy. Whoa. They're not like communing with God because of your triumphant life, you know. And it's awesome that you had the triumphant experience. Like, I think that there's like kind of two sides to this. Like, one side one is just like, it's awesome that you had that experience. Like, dude, if you prayed in tongues and you just like saw Jesus in the flesh or whatever, you got high for 4 days straight. Like, I'm like totally for that. Like, we want that for you. We love that for you. But it's like, as John's saying, it's like not meeting people where they're at. And then it's like taking a formula and it's like trying to stuff a formula down their mouth when they're going through something. Like rather than just acknowledging that God's with them, like God's with you where you're at, bro. Like it could be just simple. Like you don't even have to say that. Like, you know, you don't have to impose your spirituality on them. Just like, hey, I'm sorry to hear that. Or just listen, you know, and Holy G will inspire you. Like when you go low, whoa, and you go slow, whoa, in love, whoa, that's where Holy G is at a lot of times. Holy G a lot of times is at low and slow because that's how Jesus was. Jesus in the flesh, he goes down into the humanity. He goes low. He's like, I'm on top dog. Jesus is top dog in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but he goes low. So we now know that how God does it is he goes low. And then he goes over to the core, the needy, the sick, the broken, the hurting, and he doesn't judge. He loves, you know? And so, like, you want that dank weed on that guy or that girl. You want that dank HG. You want to go low and slow like Jesus goes low, you know? You know, you want to go like Jesus, you know? And so, like, let's just not, whoa. It's not wise to impose our personal experiences and make that a formula, even if your personal experience was awesome.
Yes.
Humility. It brings
humility.
Even when you're in the middle of the best experience ever, you can still bring someone else into that, you know, and go into them, you know, just like how God has done for us.
Ding a ding, 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 ding. And I just want to talk about Paul, you got 2 cents on that one?
Just a quick 2 cents. The giver is the Son, right? From the Father through the Son and the Spirit. So the giver is the Father and the Son, right? The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And so the gift is the Holy Spirit. And so the gift and the giver are the same, which means that Holy Spirit is God with us and in us. Wherever God is, he doesn't go in modes or in part and parcel or in some type of divvied out, you know, sections of himself. wherever God is, he is in fullness. Therefore, the spirit in you is not something that is occasional, effort-driven, mountaintopped, or worked into. It is a gift that is God himself given to us in fullness. That's my 2 cents.
2 cents. I love the 2 cents. I love the 2 cents. And I just want to say one last thing about the last one. Oh, shing a ding ding. So there's this thing called anointed leader syndrome. Oh. And then there's this idea of autonomy. Oh. And so you see this from time to time. Oh. People are like, oh, that guy got the Holy G. That girl got the Holy G, right? They just know what they're doing, you know? But they just can't see, whoa, that was a gift, that the Holy G is on that person, right? Ooh. And then you have these weird movements where you have just these anointed leaders who just have everything. Oh. And then you also have this other weird thing where you're I can prophesy, I can lay hands, I am some anointed person, I just leveled up, you know, and it just it becomes very individual focused rather than Trinitarian focused. And it's not that God doesn't give us leaders. I don't think that we want to just ignore, the Bible does talk about Paul, being an apostle and other people in Acts and stuff, but it's good stuff to have good people. It is good stuff. We want good people in our lives. We want that. We love that. And God does that for us, right? Ooh. But there's this other thing where we've now turned this person who's operating by Holy G into some weird thing. So yes. You know, does that make sense? Do you guys get the drift? Are you guys getting it?
I get it.
Yeah, there was multiple times in Acts specifically where Peter, Paul, Barnabas, all had to literally sit people down and go, "We are mere mortals just like you." You know, they had to remind them, because these charisms, these special gifts of the spirit of power, right, is to point to God. It's to point to the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son. It's to glorify the name of the triune God. It's not to bring any attention to the person. We should be servants of the servants, right? That's how we should think of each other, is we're all servants. So anybody who is above is in some type of authority, given special power or grace or a calling, some are teachers, some are evangelists, some are, all of, the gifts of the spirit. These things are, they are to be a servant of us who are servants of the Lord. They're like principal servants. They're like the head chef at a banquet for the king, right? They know what's going on. They have the itinerary for the night. They put together the 4-course meal and the dishes, and they have been given a special gift to be able to make sure it goes on without a hitch. And so we participate in that as butlers and servants. And, can I top you off with some more water? Would you like some more coffee? How's the cook on your steak? And that doesn't make us any less, because without each and every one of us, the party would not go on, would not go out with a bang. It takes all of the body participating as servants one to another in the spirit for us to really have that communal one body, one church, one spirit in the Lord together, you know?
Amen.
Ding, ding, ding. John, you got something? Ooh, you got something on that? Ooh.
Just saying, that's kind of dank.
Oh, that is kind of dank. That is kind of dank. All right. Let's go to the next one. But I think we're gonna kind of speed through this one just to catch up, because we spent a lot of time. Oh. Whoa. Hey, Paul, would you like to read one of these? Maybe we just read one side. Maybe we don't read both of them. And then we'll just skip to the next one and then read the next one. And then skip to, like, go down, like, maybe two or three slides. We'll just read through them really fast and then explain them all together.
Sure.
Is that okay, Paul?
Yeah. The Spirit Revi of Abba. Ooh, a good Shekinah right here. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father.
Okay, you want to hit the next one up?
My daddy is a baddie.
Ooh. John, you want to read this one? You pick which side, John.
All right.
Amp C on the side, Amp Class on the side, NIV on the left.
Okay, all right. Ooh. Jesus being all that is by Spirit Revi. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit.
I mean, this is kind of deep and kind of simple at the same time. It's so deep and so simple at the same time. Like, you can't even be a Christian except by the Holy G. You can't even say Jesus is Lord or God is my daddy, except that Holy Spirit inspire you so that you know about that. You don't even know. You can't even know. You don't know the truth. Holy G has to explain it to you. Whoa. And so we keep on pushing out these people, trying to make them all Christians, but they don't even know that G is their daddy. Whoa, by the Holy Ghost. Whoa, they don't know Jesus is Lord except by the Holy G. Whoa, it's a revelation. You catch it, and Holy G catches you up. Like, I know most people, they have these crazy encounters where they're like, they're sitting in church and they're like, oh, damn, Jesus is Lord. Like, it just comes to them. They have this little epiphany. They have this little thing in their mind. They're like, Jesus is Lord. What? Yeah. You know, like, Holy G caught you up. Holy G caught you up.
And I think just to go on a little bit, is like cursed versus Lord. Like, what's the difference there? Where it's like, you think Jesus is despised or you think he has all authority. And Holy Spirit reveals to you the authority Jesus has over all creation, over us, over all principalities and powers and all of it. Or you think that he has no power because cursed is someone who hangs on a tree. Well, yep, it was. And then what happened after that? All authority and all sin was condensed of all time into one man. And then now we have the same authority, and Holy Spirit reveals that to us. And that's why we say Yeshua is Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. He is the authority over us. He is our leader. The one we depend on. We got our depends on, Lady G.
I love it. Oh, let's see the next one, unless you want to throw in your 2 cents.
Do we have a slide for 1 Corinthians chapter 2 or no? I can't
remember. Oh, I think so. You know what? I don't think we got that one. No, we don't have that one.
Let me just quick mention it, because it goes along with this, about not being able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, speaking of the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what no human mind has ever conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things of God revealed to us by his Spirit. I mean, the crucifixion is, as John was alluding to there so beautifully, you know, that we cursed Jesus in our blindness. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we receive that forgiveness through the that aha moment, that epiphany, that call to his goodness and love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, therefore that we may become sons. And our sonship is in our adoption, as Paul is saying in this last one here, which is by the Holy Spirit. So just kind of tying that in, that thought in.
Amen.
That's awesome. You want to skip to the next one? Ooh. Oh, man. I don't want to talk about this one, but I just, Holy Spirit gives us our fruitiness.
I don't want to talk about the fruitiness. There's so many fruits. The cornucopia.
It's so simple that we just can't really do this walk without Holy G. It's just that simple. Like all those fruits, like goodness, kindness, loving, love, etc. Like patience. Like we can't do this walk without Holy G. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Whoa.
Yes.
You know, Paul, you got a thought. G, you got a thought. John. And we'll skip to the next one.
Mark has his hand up. I don't know if it's relevant to the last slide or this slide.
Okay, Mr. Mark.
Paul, it was about the, we considered him cursed. Well, even if we had not considered him cursed, even if we had realized that he was our holy, pure sacrifice, that still wouldn't save us. It's that the Father reckons to us that we offered the pure sacrifice. It was what God predestined to occur, but he loves us and cleanses us so that we're actually credited with the holy offering, not a curse.
Yes.
Mm. Wow.
Nice.
Yes, he sanctified our sinfulness in his self-offering for us in our sin. Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
I'd like to say this whole quote, I haven't read it, but I see that it's by Saint Basil. And I would like to say that the herbs of the Spirit are included in the fruit of the Spirit.
The dank.
Get that holy herb. You got that herb with you? Yeah, like Saint Basil, baby. Ooh. That fruity.
Oh,
I love it. So I just wanted to talk about this really quick. This is so simple, but it's so flipping profound. So we'll just talk. It's so simple, but so profound. It's so simple, but so profound. It's so simple, but it's so profound. It's really simple, but it's really profound. He will glorify me. I'm just getting really hammered. It just seems like Holy G's all on. It's being so simple, but so profound. Whoa. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. He will glorify me because he will take of mine, or what I receive and what I draw upon, and he will reveal or disclose or transmit it to you. Hey, Paul, can you flip it to the next one? Ooh, let's flip it to the next one. It's kind of about this, but let's go to the next one. Jesus on the far left. Holy Spirit in the center. Us on the far right. Jesus on the left.
This is
Holy Spirit in the center. Us on the far right.
This is a track you need to like give out in churches. This is simple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy Spirit will take of mine and reveal it unto you. Whoa. Like when we take a big puff of the Holy Spirit and we get that joy. When we're getting that joy, whose joy is that?
Oh,
falling.
Whose joy is that?
Oh, hello.
Whoa. And this is, you know, like it goes, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit to us, but it is all one line because we are all one. And that's why we're all a little happy. Got our Jesus juice cross sauce.
And we could actually put another, I love what you said, John, because we could actually additionally put another slide or another icon, which would be an invisible icon because the Father's invisible, right before this one. And we could have a boom, 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 another arrow because Jesus is the image of the Father. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mm. Like people don't realize this about Holy G. But Holy G is somewhat like Google. Whoa. Like, you know how you put in, like you'll see you do a search for Trinity in Google, and there's like 1 million results. Like literally, there'll probably be over 1 million results. Yes. But like the top 10 results are like what usually is helpful for you personally, right? Within God, within Abba, within Jesus, there's like 10 million results. And Holy Spirit says, okay, let's take the top 10. Oh,
let's just put it down, Lord.
And show it
I'm to feeling
you.
Lucky. Yeah. Here's a divine revelation right next to a Toro weed blower or a leaf blower ad. Holy Spirit, how'd you know?
Right. Everything finds its place in Christ, in God. So it's like, whoa, whatever your situation is, whatever you're looking at, the million billion results are all in Christ, baby.
A lot of results, because like, whoa, well, we're talking about an eternal God, whoa, and the only way to search the eternal God, and we skip through some of these scriptures, whoa, is through an eternal spirit. The eternal spirit seeks the deep things of God. No man knows the deep thing or the things of another person, no man, except the spirit that lies within them. And the same thing for the Holy Spirit. Nobody knows the deep things of God except for Holy G. That's what 1 Corinthians talks about. And then it says over there, Holy Spirit seeks the deep things of God and reveals them to us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So Holy G is taking the deep things of God, that deep wine, that deep bread, whoa, that deep wine, that deep bread, and revealing it to you. That deep wine, that deep bread. Have you ever cracked the scripture open and you like, you turn to like, I don't know, Mirror Bible, Passion Translation, Message, Amp Classic, and you just read and you feel Holy Ghost all over that. And you just feel like, dang, that was deep. Holy Spirit took the deep things of God and revealed it unto you.
Yes.
You probably would have passed over that scripture except for Holy G. You probably just be like, oh, that's another just scripture. But Holy G took that thing and made it bread, made it wine so that you could get it.
Tangible.
Made it tangible for you.
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. It's not so much the letters on the page put together to create words, which then formulate ideas written in sentence form. That's not how that works. We have a living letter, a living word. And so it's the space between the letters and the words. That white on that piece of paper, which those words are printed, that is the union binding together all the messages in the Bible and presenting to you the word, Jesus Christ. He fills in the blank space with divine revelation, things that could not be known otherwise.